Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. And Tim, today we're talking about helping those generations, Generation Z in particular, break free from something called the all or nothing mindset. Now, this comes in a lot of different ways, but we were just talking about how we do this yes. every single day too.
I must admit, I fall into this trap, and it's not just mentally that I do. I do this in my everyday life. For instance, I'll give you a good example. So if my wife has gone to the supermarket and brought back a whole bunch of groceries because we're having friends over or family over, there'll be maybe 7 or 8 bags. I intuitively, without thinking, and I want to underscore without thinking, try to get all the bags at once. I'm going to carry all 7 bags. I'm going to see if I can get this. I don't know why I do this. I've got another couple of minutes that I could go back for a second trip and pick up the other 3 or 4.
But it's not that far to your driveway.
I don't know if it's a male idiot thing that I've got going on or what, but I want to get them all. And she will just shake her head and go, "What are you doing? You can't even grab the doorknob because you've got 7 bags and you're stumbling in like it's a speed race or something." But anyway, I'm just funny that way. But it's an all or nothing thing for me. I either get them all or forget the whole supermarket trip,
And often when we take on too much, it could be damaging. Yeah. And this is something that I saw personally. It was really right before we all went into isolation. I think it was in February. I was flying from one event to another, and it was a late night, so I arrived at an airport pretty late. I had to take an escalator up to get on a train to go over to get the rental car. And as I'm headed towards the escalator, I noticed this woman in front of me, who is, she's not a very big woman. She's pretty small, but she's rolling along with her 3 huge suitcases. Wow. And I noticed that as she's going, she's not headed towards the elevator to go up to the train. She's headed towards the escalator to go up the train with these 3 huge bags. And I remember having the thought right before she barreled right into the escalator, like, I don't think that's a good idea, Well, sure enough, I was probably 20 feet behind her, but I closed the gap very quickly because the biggest bag that she had put in front of her fell back on her, and I actually ran in and caught her right as she was falling backwards down the escalator, which is one of the craziest experiences of my life. And she apologized profusely, and you know what she said? I should never have tried to take all of these bags onto the escalator. And I'm sitting there thinking, you think? But this is what we do so oftentimes.
Yeah, it's
we do this physically, but one of the things we talked about is we do this mentally too, don't we?
Yeah, and so today's conversation, the all or nothing mindset, is the internal ways we do this. I have a friend in California. She's a wonderful lady, but she is really an all or nothing person. In fact, many have just affectionately call her the bipolar friend they've got. And I know that sounds very crude and rude, but she's been diagnosed. She's not bipolar, but she will quickly rush to the day was amazing or the day was horrible. There's nothing in between. And it's a mindset that I think prevents her from really evaluating life well and then responding to life well because, it's just, you know what I mean. It's just terrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Forget the whole thing. Everybody go home,
It's not a disorder. It's a mindset, right? It's deciding that life can only be one way or the other.
It's so true.
What's crazy is it feels like this is sort of happening all around our country. And actually, psychologists actually have titled it the all or nothing thinking, all or nothing mental processes. So it's things like, and you've probably heard students especially say things like this, my life is either awesome or it's terrible, right? My job is either fantastic or it's disgusting, right? It's the worst. I'm either beautiful or I'm ugly. Those are the only 2 options. My classmates are either smart or they're stupid, or I'm either smart or I'm stupid. I'm successful or I'm worthless. Yeah. It's these kinds of thoughts that I think slow students down or even stop them up from progress because they think I can't succeed.
Yeah. So one of the places I see this show up is reading. I have learned to read books from authors that I don't agree with totally. In fact, that author's going to stretch me a little bit because they don't think like I do. But if you've got an all or nothing mindset, you'll miss all kinds of great information and content that probably would stretch you a little bit and make you better, but you miss it because it has to be all or nothing. This is true in politics. Don't we see this in politics? There's a little bit about both major parties I don't like, but we got to be honest and say, well, neither one are perfect. Neither one are all. It's not all or nothing. But, oh boy, even now especially, there's so much division in our nation. And part of the problem is we villainize completely one side of an issue. And I don't know that that's wise for ourselves or them.
Yes. And this is especially unhealthy for, I think, today's students, right? Yeah. And especially when they see it modeled to them by adults, right?
Yeah.
Because in a lot of ways, Generation Z is not creating the political polarization. Yeah. They're responding to the political polarization. And we've just got to ask the question of what are we doing to these students as they're building their sense of identity, as they're building their beliefs, as they're building their values? How are they landing? And I think a lot of them are taking a cue from the adults and the folks in the world and going, well, this must just be the way life works.
No doubt about it. So licensed marriage and family therapist Ashley Thorne says that this kind of thinking, and I quote now, means you have only two options. Things have to be one way or another, and there's no gray in between. And Andrew, you and I have been around this world long enough to know there's a lot of gray. There's some black and white, but there's a lot of gray. And it's just healthy for us to find habits in our lives, especially as we lead the next generation, to help them see past the extremes that our world seems to be in right now.
Yeah. Well, you had told me about a young lady you talked to named Tracy who totally embodied this. Talk about her.
Yeah. So Tracy's a great example. She's a 17-year-old perfectionist. So everybody knows what I'm talking about there, who once held the view that she was awesome. And the reason why is she made straight A's. She led a club on campus. But this last year, however, she did poorly on an exam and her self-esteem plummeted. And you know why? She had all or nothing thinking. Since she obviously wasn't awesome anymore, then she must be a loser, you know? And this is just a classic illustration. If we're not careful in our thinking and we're already in this all or nothing mindset, we can villainize ourselves because we have a we have a bad day.
And this happens every single year with freshmen at college campuses all around the country, right? Who have done really well in school all the way up to that point and have developed this mindset of I get straight A's, therefore that makes me smart. And they don't have the capacity to think about what happens if I don't get straight A's, right?
Yeah.
How do I define myself or identify myself after that? And Tracy is just, I think, one of thousands of students who deal with this really difficult reality.
Yeah, no doubt. So Andrew, one of our favorite research psychologists, Brené Brown at the University of Houston, she has some metaphors that she uses that I think will be helpful today for us to perhaps frame our conversation. She says that all too often, people today become Vikings or victims. Let me say that again. Vikings or victims. Vikings, of course, are the conquerors who only see themselves as winning, beating others in every competition. And then victims are the opposite. While they may be just as gifted or intelligent as any Viking, they've developed a black and white assumption that they're on the other side of the competition. And if their will is not as strong as that Viking, they may have a strong mind but a weak will, they're not going to fight for their own agency, you know, their own personal rights maybe, even in a conversation. So they become the victim of a system without the resources to succeed. And both of these mindsets, the Viking or the victim, see the world as an eat or be eaten place. And I just don't think that's what our world needs right now.
Absolutely. Well, we see this all the time when, and I don't know if you've had this kind of interaction, but I've been with young people before who say, oh, I'm no good, or I haven't achieved this, or I'm not really ready for. And then they achieve some form of success. Yeah. And you think, oh, well, that's really going to turn things around. But for a student who's developed this mindset, it doesn't turn it around because they explain away the evidence because they're in this, you know, reality. Oh, I got an A on the test, but it was just a fluke. I happen to like that subject, right?
No doubt.
And you're like, no. This means that you are capable of succeeding if you would just, you know. But this is one of the reasons why this is so frustrating and why this can often be so dangerous.
Yeah, it is. So everybody, I think, listening has heard of the research psychologist Carol Dweck at Stanford University. She's another one of our favorites, Andrew. But Carol is just so brilliant when she says that we can develop either a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. That's the term we've all become familiar with. But I want to talk about the fixed mindset for just a minute. It's a term coined by Carroll, and it basically says we are either good at reading or we're not. We're either good at this or that or we're not. And this prevents Vikings from seeing their own flaws and growing out of them, and it prevents victims from seeing the positive qualities they possess and capitalizing on them. The fixed mindset, she adjusts, as I've said on this podcast before, with the word yet. I'm not good at math yet, or I'm not this way yet, because it just allows for some gray that says I'm on my way, but I'm not there yet. Mm. Yeah.
This is really, really good. I think this is exactly the problem that when we encounter young people who are acting like this, is exactly what's happening, right? The number of kids I've met who said, I'm just one of those people who's just not good at math, right? And it's like, we've got to get beyond that. We've got to help them get beyond that. So I know as we were sort of preparing for our conversation today, you've got some advice, some different suggestions, a short little list about what we can do to help students break free from that all or nothing mindset. So I wonder if you could walk us through
that. Yeah, absolutely. So we got a handful of items, listeners, for you to think about. But as we think about helping students break out of this all or nothing mindset, the first thing I would say is you got to start with a conversation with that student.
Yeah.
Discuss the good elements in every bad situation. Start there, okay? And there might be some bad in the good, but I think this is the place you have to start. When you see a student spiral into an all or nothing pattern, point out the helpful outcomes that can be found in bad circumstances. I recently spoke to a smart student who wasn't accepted by a college program that he really, really, really wanted. And I said, look at it this way. You had 6 desirable options. Now you only have to choose from 5. I mean, I know that sounds so flippant, but it's actually, we are overwhelmed in our lives sometimes by so many options. That's why Trader Joe's is kind of such a popular grocery store for so many people. It's like, I only have to choose between 2 really, really good brands, not 50,000 of them. So I just think this is really important to really point out the silver lining. And by the way, Andrew, especially with what we're facing today, both with the protests going on and the pandemic we're facing and the economy that we're looking at, we've got to help our brains see there might be some good that came from the bad.
Absolutely. This is really, really important. And it reminds us that attitude is not a result of circumstances. It is always a result of choice and mindset. Yeah. And I think the ability to see good and bad is the ability to choose to have the mindset of we can make lemonade out of lemons in whatever the lemons are.
So let me share one more thought, Andrew, before we go on, because I just think this is going to be relevant. So social media is a buzzin' these days. And yes, one of the comments that at least I've seen on several apps is, man, let's just cancel 2020. Let's just cancel 2020. Yeah. And you know, you laugh because it's true. You think, oh my gosh, starting in March, this went south really fast. You know, it's that proverbial phrase that escalated quickly. But I love what one young lady, I think a young lady posted. Let me just read it. She goes, what if 2020 isn't canceled? What if 2020 is the year we've been waiting for? A year so uncomfortable, so painful, so scary, so raw, that it finally forces us to grow. Mm. That's powerful. A year that screams so loud, finally awakening us from the ignorant slumber that we're in. A year we finally accept the need for change. Declare change, work for change, become the change. A year we finally band together instead of pushing each other further apart. 2020 shouldn't be canceled, but rather the most important year of them all. What a great conclusion and what a great illustration of that first step we're talking about.
Absolutely. That is growth mindset if I have ever heard it, right?
Yeah.
We can be better and this year's going to force it to happen.
That's so true. So. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. All right, let's go to number two.
Enable those young people to see the flaws in all or nothing thinking. So this is going to be a process, not an event, okay? It's not going to happen overnight. But I think it should be easy to point out the flawed logic of black and white categorizing. There's a little good and bad in every situation. And we've got to learn to avoid exaggeration. So this might mean you just pointing it out in the moment and they're not going to like it. Don't don't sermonize, but just say, you know, there actually is a little bit good in this and, you know, a little bad in that. So one of my favorite quotes of all time about this particular topic is Joe Namath. Joe Namath was, of course, the Hall of Fame quarterback for the New York Jets. After losing a big football game, Joe Namath said, and I love this, "Nothing is as ever as good as it seems. Nothing is as ever as bad as it seems." What a great statement. So he realized, when I win the Super Bowl, that's really nice, but I need to move on. That, you know, yesterday comes, surfaces really quickly, you know. But yep. Then if I lose, I need to, okay, that's not the end of the world. It was a game. Now it's my career, absolutely, but it was a game. So yeah, we're all smart in some areas and ignorant in others. And I think we need to see all sides. And so we need to start helping students see the flaws in all or nothing thinking.
Absolutely. I think this is a really good practice to build with young people. If they have a great success, whether it's a grade on a test or in a athletic event, stop and say, okay, you're going to celebrate this today, but tomorrow, here's what I want to think about. What's one area in which you could improve? Yeah. Even though you won, even though you succeeded, how could you get better? And the same thing when something bad happens. Hey, you know, I know that bad thing happened, but let's talk about, what did we learn? Yeah. How did we get better? Yeah. How were we better than the time before? This is where you get really, really good, because you capitalize on those moments and make the most of them.
Andrew, you sound like Nick Saban and Kirby Smart right now.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm telling you. Okay.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Number three.
Let's go to number three.
The third idea we'd share with you is learn to use the words and yet. And yet. So black and white thinking focuses on the word or. It's either good or bad. It's either awesome or horrible. And the word but is often another word that the all or nothing thinking people have. You're good, but I'm not. Or you're good, but. Mm-hmm. So what if we said, I have a lot of great qualities and do a lot of good things, and sometimes I make mistakes and poor decisions. That is reality right there. And it pushes us out of the all or nothing mindset. And then Carol Dweck suggests, I love this, that we use the word yet. She said it's her favorite word. 2 or 3 years ago, I was talking to her on the phone, and I think it was actually on a podcast, and she said, my favorite word this year is the word yet. This is a more accurate view of our reality and allows for both honest evaluation and then growth. I'm not good at math yet. So it's just good.
And what more practical advice can you give than just to say, just watch language, listen to the words that people are using. And if you hear ors and buts and you're not hearing ands and yets, then you know you might have found a student who's slipping into this all or nothing mindset. Yeah, so this is great.
Good.
All right, let's do last one.
Number four. Focus on what can be learned from everyone and everything. Focus on what can be learned from everyone and everything. So sometimes students become cynical since they know so much at such a very young age. Have we not talked about this, Andrew? Generation Z, and it was a world thrust upon them. They didn't create it, but they know so much in middle school, they start getting jaded or cynical because they know too much. You know, no hero is perfect. We now know the flaws of George Washington, Abe Lincoln, and there's nothing wrong with that. We need to know they're human, but sometimes we need to say, but you know what? Even though they're not perfect, I can learn a lot of great traits from George Washington, for instance. So these kids no longer have heroes because they know their flaws. And again, like I just said, sure, George Washington had some poor qualities in his life, no doubt about it, but we can still learn much from his leadership. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's the phrase I would use. Learn to eat the fish and spit out the bones.
That's right.
Eat the fish and spit out the bones. So
you and I say that a lot at our events, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Because the reality is, you know, with every story, with every piece of advice, with everything from history or with every hero's, you know, journey, there's always good and there's always bad. And I think, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but one of the practices I feel like is when I look at a hero, or I look at somebody from history, or I look at, you know, a book somebody wrote, I always acknowledge the bad. So I don't ignore it. I got to say, you know, yes, that was not good. Yeah. We acknowledge it. We identify it. But then we learn from the good.
Yeah.
Right. Acknowledge the bad, learn from the good. And that's just been a practice that's healthy for me, and I think would be healthy for a lot of young people too.
I do too. Andrew, I think if we posture ourselves as educated people, and I know that has a lot of definitions, it's not just a BA or a master's degree, but to be wise and educated, we're going to step away from this all or nothing thinking, because it's a non-thinking way of thought. It really is.
Yes, it really is.
So, listeners, maybe you're looking at your own life before you look at your kids or your students. I would say absolutely look in the mirror first and say, where am I guilty of this all or nothing thinking? And if I'm truly an educated person, shouldn't I be avoiding that? Shouldn't I recognize what can be learned in every situation and what I need to avoid from every person's sets of qualities or whatever? And the answer, of course, is yes.
That's great. That's great. Well, let me, I'm going to go back over and just read those four one last time. And I know you've got one last quote you want to share with us. So, four pieces of advice. Number one is discuss the good elements in every bad situation. So, identify those good things, even in bad situations. Number two, enable them to see flaws in their all or nothing thinking. So, call those things out. Help them avoid exaggeration. Number three, use the words and yet instead of the words or and but. And I love that advice. And number four, focus on what can be learned from everyone and everything. So we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We ask, how can we learn from this? How can we get better?
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew, one of my favorite sociologists over the years has written a number of books. His name is Tony Campolo. And he was at Eastern College for years. He may still be there, but he wrote a book that I've got in my library today. You're going to smile when you hear this title. The title of the book is "We Have Met the Enemy, and He Is Partly Right." Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome? We've met the enemy, and darn it, he's partly right. So maybe the listeners today can just take heart to say, you know what? I need to stop villainizing certain issues or people and say, what can I learn? And I need to stop thinking something else is perfect, when in reality, I may need to look in the mirror and say, I'm really not that perfect. So this is where we need to go. So
I love that. Yeah. I love that.
So a final quote that I want to leave our listeners with, Andrew, and then I'll turn it back over to you, is Katharina Starr, who is a PhD, wrote something about this topic that we just felt would be a great closer. Here it is. She said, all or nothing thinking is a negative thinking pattern that's common in people with panic disorder, depression, and other anxiety-related issues. So think about that, the association between those disorders and all-or-nothing thinking. All-or-nothing thinking is one of many negative thought processes known as cognitive distortions. And I think there's 17 of them when psychologists list all the... So this is one of the 17 cognitive distortions that are common among people with anxiety and depression. When thinking in all-or-nothing terms, you split your views onto extremes. Everything from your view of yourself to your life experiences is divided into black and white terms, and this leaves little room for, if any, for gray area in between, and that's what we've got to avoid.
That's really good. That's really good. Thanks for sharing that. Well, as you're listening, you may be thinking, hey, I want to dig deeper, or I want to figure out how to have a conversation with a young person in my life about this. Dr. Elmore, Tim actually wrote a really great free ebook on this subject. We actually call it Gray Areas. It's about ethics and decision making and how the world is not quite so black and white as it might seem. And so if you're interested in picking that resource up, you would just go to growingleaders.com and click on free, and you'll find it as one of the free resources under there. It's called Gray Areas. It's a really fantastic free resource for you there. As always, if you would rate this podcast to get the word out about what we're doing here, that's really helpful to us. Share it with friends. We love it when people are passing things around. Follow us on social media. We are at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And as always, if you've got ideas for this podcast, things you want us to talk about, people you want us to interview, shoot us an email. It's podcast@growingleaders.com. Tim, thank you for leading us through this discussion today. This is so, so important. I hope you guys learn from this and take it into your interactions with the next generation. Until then, we'll see you next time.